You may remain seated. Let us pray. Lord, speak to us through your holy word and through the blood which cleanses us from all sin. Amen. Grace to you from him who is our high priest, who mediates a new covenant in his blood, and peace to you in that blood which cleanses us from all sin. Amen. Worship is a matter of mystery. It's a mysterious joining together of heaven and earth, more than meets the eye. There's a difference between a mystery and a secret. What is that difference between a mystery and a secret? Well, what happens when a secret becomes known? It ceases to be a secret anymore. It's not supposed to be known. And yet with a mystery, what happens when it becomes known? When it becomes known, it is only the beginning. A mystery is something you want to delve deeper into, you want to know more about, and the more you uncover, the more you find there is to appreciate. A mystery is different than a secret because it's intended to be uncovered. And it's something which the deeper we look into, the deeper we appreciate. Take the mystery of life, for instance. Most everyone can recognize the difference between being alive and being dead. And yet, no scientist or doctor can tell you exactly what life is or what death is. We simply observe it. The closer you look at human life, the more intricate you find the details and the mystery of God's creation. Worship is a mystery. Take, for example, a person that walks into a church with no experience of Christian worship whatsoever. He walks into a Lutheran liturgical service like ours, and what does he see? He sees a group of diverse people scattered throughout the pews, each sitting in their own place, probably more toward the back than they are toward the front. And he wonders what all these people are doing together in this place at this time. They're gathering for no apparent reason. There they are, sitting in the pews, and one man in the front that they call the minister. He keeps turning back and forth from the people to the wall. They stand up, they sit down. He says something, they say something. And then the strangest thing of all happens. At the end of the service, they all come up to the front. He hands them a small cracker and a cup of wine, and then they leave. What a strange thing. A mystery might seem quite plain or even strange at first, until the blood speaks. Until the blood speaks, worship can never be understood. It's a mystery, and the more you know about it, the more you realize you don't know. Tonight we take that deeper look into what God is doing in our midst when we gather together in Christ's name, a mysterious joining together of heaven and earth. And so we turn to our text, which is the fifth in our series, from Hebrews chapter 12. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkling, the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Tonight we uncover a mystery. We uncover something that otherwise would never be known. And even then, on the surface, it seems kind of strange. And yet, it's all about the blood. The blood which speaks, which makes this all possible and makes this all make sense. It speaks and we uncover this mystery that in Christ, heaven has come to earth. And we look deeper and deeper and appreciate more and more that mystery. It's described in terms of seven invisible aspects. Firstly, where does worship take place? Well, where would you say we are? At 0S850 Wenmuth Road, Batavia, Illinois? We're here in a building, in a place, at a certain time. It does have a location. And yet, if that's all you knew, walking off the streets, this would seem quite unusual. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. The place of worship is heaven. Secondly, who is there? We look around and what do we see? How many can we count? And yet, there's more. There's an invisible number that cannot be numbered. It's called a myriad of angels. So many it can't be counted. We should expect to find angels in heaven. There are the holy ones, holy in God's presence. And yet, the surprising thing is that we would be there while we worship, that we would be with the angels called holy to stand before God. The angels accompany us in this praise and adoration of God. Thirdly, who is granted such access and such status? Well, I suppose we could look at our membership, right? We're all members of Ascension Lutheran Church. We're members of the CLC. We're Orthodox. To trust in that is to trust in only earthly things. Our Constitution, in all its rights and privileges that it gives you, does not say anything about a right to enter heaven. It leaves us separated from God if we only had an earthly membership. We need blood. We need Christ. For you have come to the church of the firstborn, the registered not on earth, but in heaven. Worship is a mystery that unites the church on earth. It unites us together with all believers in Christ. Fourthly, who sits at the center? Of the seven aspects, what is the one right in the middle? Can you look at our text? It's God. It's God the judge. Right in the middle is God the judge. Why should we be able to stand in the presence of this judge? We'll come back to that. Fifthly, around the throne, you have seen there's the church on earth, and on the other side, there's also the spirits of the righteous men who have been made perfect. These are they who have gone before and who have died in the faith. Those believers who have died in Christ and are alive forever with Him are present when we worship. A grandfather, a great aunt, a mother, a spouse. All who have died believing in Christ are gathered, the spirits of the faithful departed. Sixthly, we need a liturgist, someone to conduct the service. And you might think the pastor does this. You might think the pastor is the one who leads the worship, and he does. Yet he's only in the stead and in the presence of someone greater. It could never happen if we didn't have a high priest who goes between earth and heaven. As much as the pastor conducts the service here on earth, Christ is the one mediating all of this into God's heavenly presence in a new covenant in His blood. You would think that Jesus would be the culmination of our text. You would think He would be the central and most important element completing this mysterious event. And yet there's a seventh element, a last and final and practically speaking most crucial element. You have come to the blood of sprinkling. The blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Abel offered a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. It was Abel's offering in Genesis 4 that was accepted by God, and Cain's offering was not. Cain got angry, he got jealous, and he killed his brother Abel. God responded to Cain, "The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Abel's death was a testimony to his faithfulness, his worship of the one true God, and it was done so in faith. Abel's blood cries out for the Lord to make good on his promises. Abel was born and lived and died before Christ, and he was crying out that God would make good on his promises. And well, God has made good in a greater sacrifice. The blood of Christ was shed for us, the one who speaks to us even better things. It doesn't cry out for God to make good on his promises. It cries out that God has made good on his promises. Unlike Abel, who cried out in death, calling for redemption, Christ cries out in life, and he gives redemption. His blood speaks forgiveness. It testifies to a heavenly reality, and it speaks to you. It says, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." The blood speaks. It is the proclamation of the gospel, which testifies to Jesus' faithfulness and death. It is the blood which is meant to be sprinkled, which is sprinkled on us as we hear that great wonder of God's gift of atonement in Christ, and even more so when we come to the Lord's Supper. We have our hearts literally sprinkled with the blood of Christ. You can see why the Lord's Supper would be the culmination of each worship service as the liturgy builds to that moment and we enter God's holiness. It's the blood that does it all. The blood speaks and we approach Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. The blood speaks. And we're gathered into that angelic status alongside of all the company of all the angels in God's presence. The blood speaks. And the whole church on earth is united together. It transcends denominations. It's not about earthly membership, but it's about those who truly believe in Christ as their Savior throughout all the world, joined together in this communion, the communion of saints. The blood speaks. And it speaks before the judge. We come before the judge guilty. And what does it say? You are forgiven. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is when we come before the judge, in our confession and absolution, as we use those words from John 1, to stand before God and know that Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. We are absolved. The blood speaks. And even those who have died are with us. It brings together a grandfather, a grandmother, a mother, a spouse, someone who's departed in the faith, for they've been joined to Christ. And wherever Christ is, there is the presence of all the saints in heaven. You can see why it's kind of silly to talk about having a small congregation. There is no such thing. Every congregation is just a congregation. It is a congregation that when it gathers in Christ's name is bigger than you could ever imagine. The blood speaks. It says, "This is my covenant of the new blood which is shed for you." And as our heavenly liturgist, Jesus brings together heaven and earth. A mystery. It might seem kind of strange to somebody walking off the streets. And yet the more you know about it, the more you begin to realize and appreciate how deeply this goes. It is a matter of mystery. The pastor hands you a small cracker and a cup of wine, and yet that is heaven. It is the heavenly Jerusalem, all the company of angels, the church on earth, God the judge, the saints who have departed, and Christ, the mediator of a new covenant. We might not see it, but we hear it. We hear it in the speaking of the gospel as the blood speaks and we receive everything. In Jesus' name, amen.